Bow before Almighty Yahweh. Father, we come before you. We thank you for the blessing of this day. We thank you for the Shalom Assembly here has been able to come down and worship with us and participate with this teen retreat, this teen weekend. We pray for your blessings on those here and pray for the blessings on those elsewhere. We know that there's many worshiping you in spirit and truth throughout this world. And we just pray that you'd be with your people today. Help us all to grow in knowledge and truth, and more importantly, to apply that and live for you. And we thank you now for the blessings and many blessings. And we just ask all this in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all may be seated. It's a blessing to have y'all here. And I'd like to extend my own welcome greetings to the Shalom Assembly and also our visitors here. We again have folks from all the way from New York and all the way up north to from Canada. So blessing to have everybody here. Now, as most of you know, YRM is hosting again this youth retreat. And with that in mind, I wanted to really focus today on the importance of faith and choosing the right path. Now, obviously, this lesson is applicable to everybody, but my focus today really is to the young people, to the teens here, because it is such a pivotal time in your life. So I would encourage everybody here to listen. You know, as a person, there's nothing more important than faith. Nothing more important than our faith in our Creator. And again, I believe this is especially true for those just starting out in life, for those in their teens or 20s. You know, throughout this life, we will come across crossroads, if you will, or decisions that we must make. And it's important to recognize that none of those decisions are greater than our faith in living for Yahweh. Well, living for Yahweh doesn't mean a life free from challenges. It does mean that we're going to be blessed and free from many of the problems many others deal with, many others go through. You know, as a minister, I've heard some horror stories throughout the years, people coming to me with their stories, with their challenges, with the things they've had to deal with in this life. Some of the more common examples include past sexual immorality, relationship issues, even drug abuse. But I've heard things like anxiety and depression, those items as well. You know, as a person, without Yahweh and his word, issues like this are easy to fall into. And that's so important, especially for the young people, to realize that you're in a very pivotal time in your life, and that if you do things right, you're going to be blessed. But if you do things wrong, you could be cursed in many, many ways. And this is, again, why it's so important that we understand this, that we understand that we embrace what I would call the moral compass we find within Yahweh's word, to live according to his truth. And I'll say it again, as a person, there's nothing more important than living for Yahweh. This one decision will impact our life more than any other. Nothing else, no other decision we make will impact our lives more than following our Father in heaven. Now, here's an outline of what I want to cover in this message. A few points here. The importance of life decisions, and of course, how Yahweh impacts those decisions, and choosing a path with purpose, seeking guidance through prayer. Prayer is always important. Embracing faith and decision-making, and lastly here, surrendering our personal desires. Now, all of these components are important, I believe, as we walk in faith. We're also going to review some examples from Abraham, the father of the faithful. He's a great, great example. So we're going to see two examples from this man. I want to begin with the importance of life decisions. And for this, I want to look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in Yahweh with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." You know, for me, this is such an important message. We find three lessons here. Number one, trust in Yahweh. Number two, not relying on our own understanding. And lastly here, number three, acknowledging Yahweh, acknowledging our Father in heaven, acknowledging his word and his truth. When we live these principles, it says here that Yahweh is going to direct our paths. It's a kind of a simple concept, I guess, but such an important, pivotal concept. You know, I can assure you this, if we are going to have a better and more fulfilled life when we follow Yahweh's word. And again, that speaks, and that comes from 47 years and 20 plus years in the ministry. been speaking with many people over the years, and there are challenging situations, and many of those could have been avoided if they would have simply followed what we find here. I want to talk about each one of these items separately. What does it mean to trust Yahweh? What does it mean to trust Yahweh? Well, the word trust here, it's from the Hebrew batah, and in addition to trust, obviously, this word conveys the thought of confidence and boldness. So it's more than just a trust. It's having boldness in whatever we're speaking of. And here we're speaking about the relationship we have with Yahweh. So as believers, our confidence should include boldness for the one we worship. At the end of the day, if we trust in our Father in heaven, nothing is going to shake or move us. And I think that's the important thing to realize and comprehend. If we really trust, if we have boldness, if we have confidence in the one we worship, nothing is going to shake us with our faith. We are going to continue on. We're going to follow him. Whatever persecution or whatever trial we're going through, we're not going to default. We're not going to go astray because we have trust and boldness and confidence in the one we worship. Let's talk about what it means to not rely on our own understanding. You know, for me, this is a big one, and the reason why is I tend to do this. As a person, I tend to rely on my own understanding. One of the prime examples of this is when we're facing a challenge or a problem. And again, I'm the first one to start looking at all the options, and for those who know me. But as a believer, the first thing we should be doing is seeking Yahweh's word, reading the word, understanding what our Father says about this situation, so that we understand what course we should go. But again, it's important for this reason that we rely not on our own understanding, but again, rely on his word. Now, I will say this, his way, again, is not always easy way. It's not always easy way. In fact, sometimes following the one we worship is hard. It really is. Because we're going against the world, we're going against the majority. But it's the right decision, it's the right way. And that's the important thing to remember. When we're making these decisions, when we're facing tribulation, when we're facing obstacles in life, and we look at Yahweh's word, and when we understand the path we should take, sometimes it's the hard way. But that hard way is still the right way. So it's important that we understand that, and we have the courage, we have the faith, we have the boldness to pursue that right way. Sometimes, when we don't pursue the right way, that's when bad things happen. What happens when we go down a path that doesn't align with our Father's word? What happens when we go down a path that contradicts or goes the other way from what we find within his truth? Or what happens is bad things. When we go against his word, when we go astray from his truth, bad things happen. We're not blessed. In many cases, now I know we don't use this word too often, but we're cursed. It's kind of an archaic word, I guess, but we're cursed. Meaning, it's real simple, meaning bad things happen. You see, when we're cursed, bad things happen. And when we go against Yahweh's word, we're cursed. Bad things happen. So it's important for that reason that we understand, again, Yahweh's truth, what he says about that thing, whatever it is, and we pursue his word and not our own understanding. Think about if everybody in this world would do what we just spoke about here. Think about if every decision in this world would be based first on the truth of our Father's word. But most don't care. And that's why we have the mess we do. Now the last item here is to acknowledge Yahweh. You know, short, this simply means, I believe, doing and following his word. That's what it means, to acknowledge Yahweh. Do it his way, don't do it our way. To conform our lives to his truth, to transform our lives to his word. And this includes even the small things. I'm a big believer in, it's not just about the big things. Sometimes we focus a lot on the big things, but I believe also the small things matter when it comes to his truth, when it comes to his word. And here's the thing, when we compromise, I believe, on the small things, listen, we're going to compromise also on the big things. So it's important that we as believers recognize and follow not only the big things, but also the small things of his word. You know, in many ways, I view the Bible as a handbook, Yahweh's handbook of life. And when followed, again, we're blessed when ignored, we're cursed. And I know these concepts, by the way, they're not hard concepts. They're not hard concepts. Nothing I'm going to say today is hard to understand. But how many of us do it? And that's really what I want to impress upon those here and those listening. How many of us do it? It's not hard to understand. Yes, Scripture says we're to follow Yahweh. Scripture says we're not to rely on our own understanding. Scripture says that we're to have faith in the one we worship. It's real easy to understand. But do we do it? Sometimes we just need to be reminded of the obligations we have as a believer. And that includes having faith in the one we worship. That includes have boldness in the one we worship. That includes understanding and knowing him, acknowledging his word, and not our own perspective. Well, let's now move on. I want to talk about choosing a path with purpose. And for this, I want to read what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It's from the NIV. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you." You see, Yahweh's a plan for us. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you," declares Yahweh, "plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Or the message here is such a crucial message. Number one, we find that Yahweh has a plan for us. The Father of this universe, the Creator, he has a plan for each one of us. And that's an important concept to understand. Number two, we find that when we follow his plan, what's going to happen? What's the result? What does Scripture say? When we follow his plan, what does Scripture say? Scripture says that when we follow his plan, that we're going to prosper. We're going to prosper, and we will prosper. I believe I've been very blessed in this life, very blessed. And I believe the reason I've been very blessed is because I've tried to pursue and follow Yahweh's truth. That's why I've been blessed. Now, there's hard work involved. There's initiative involved. There's other things part of that. But first and foremost, Yahweh is first. And when he's not first, again, our ways will not be prospered. It says here that this is, he's not to do us any harm, and he wants to give us hope and a future. So many people want to live life as they choose, and as long as we're not looking for Yahweh's blessings, that's great. Just do that. Live life as you will, live life as you choose. Have no regard, but understand there are consequences to what we do in life. And when we do not pursue Yahweh's ways, we're not going to be blessed. We're not going to be prospered as we find here. If we want the blessings of our Father in heaven, then we must choose to live according to his ways. And again, this includes even, again, the small things. This includes every aspect of our lives, including our careers, our friendships, our relationships, even our spouses, and especially our spouses, that we should mold and transform our lives, including our spouses. I want to talk more about this in this message, but the Bible says that we're to only marry within the faith. Why do you suppose that is? Why is that important? It's important because no one is more influential than our spouse. Nobody knows us better than our spouse. And for that reason, we need to choose the right spouse, and that spouse should be in the faith. Now, this is just one of many examples of doing it Yahweh's way. I mean, we could spend the entire day speaking about how we follow Yahweh and in ways we can follow Yahweh. But really, the biggest thing is everything we do, every action we take, every thought we have, it should be based on Yahweh's word. Most often, our biggest enemy is ourselves. When we go against Yahweh's word, it's by choice, right? It's by choice. One of the great things about being a human being is we can choose. Yahweh in the Old Testament says, "I've given you life and I've given you death." He says, "Choose life." But we have the ability to choose death. So as a person, as a human being, as a believer, it's important that we understand this concept that when we do something, it is us doing it. And we're going to pay the consequences, whether those are good or bad. But we're going to deal with those consequences. And again, I can't tell you the number of people I've spoken to over the years, and they've gotten themselves into bad situations. And sometimes they come to me and they say, "What do I do?" then honestly, sometimes they've made such a mess of their lives, there's not much you can do but to simply deal with those consequences and do what's right from that point on. But there's no redoing what you've done in the past sometimes. It's an important concept. Find a man in the Old Testament and a great example of what it means to be devoted. I want to read this. Joshua 24:15. Most of you probably know this already. You're familiar with this passage. It says, if it seems evil unto you to serve Yahweh, and of course this was Joshua here speaking to the Israelites. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the mighty ones of your father served, which your father served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the mighty ones of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. So again, Joshua here, he's speaking to the nation of Israel. He's speaking to the people of Israel. And we find him asking, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? And that question of who are we going to serve is just as relevant to us today. He speaks about their forefathers. You see, the Israelites, their forefathers, worshipped other mighty ones, false mighty ones, instead of Yahweh. And, you know, as we know with Israel's history, they would fall into apostasy time and time again. But Joshua here, he's giving them a choice. And nothing is more crucial than what we find here from Joshua. There is not a greater choice we have in this life. You know, we can take this statement by Joshua, and we can apply this at any point, at any time, with any demographic, any group. And it's just as applicable in every single circumstance. Because the question is very simple. Are we going to serve as maybe our forefathers did, which was not according to Yahweh's way, or are we going to serve him? It's not complicated, but it's something we need to understand, and it's something we need to live, more importantly. As believers, how do we respond today? Are we living as a world, or are we living for our Father in heaven? And listen, just because we're here today does not mean we're not living like this world. I want us to really think about this, because we understand this. I really believe everybody in this room and those listening, we have the capacity to understand what it means to live for Yahweh and live for this world. And I think many, if we would ask deep down, are we living for Yahweh completely, most of us would probably say no. Many of us might say we have a lot of room to grow. Nothing, again, is more crucial than this question by Joshua. James, in his epistle, he says this, and this is about the world. He says, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with Elohim? It's hatred. That's what that means. It's hatred with Elohim. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of this world is the enemy of Elohim, following Yahweh. So just take a moment. I'm going to pause for just a moment. I'm going to let you ponder that. You know, it's a good question. It's a needed question. And I hope that you took that small exercise seriously and ask, am I doing what I should? Am I living the life that I should? Am I following Yahweh? Am I putting him first? Or am I allowing this world to sway me from what is true and right according to his word? Joshua closes here by saying this, but as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. What lesson here? What do we learn from Joshua? What we learn here is this: no matter what people are doing around us, we can choose who we are going to serve. So our families can be doing this, and our friends, and I would caution friends of this nature, but our friends can be doing that. And that can all be outside of Yahweh's truth. But as believers, we can choose which way we're going to go, whether we're going to follow Yahweh, whether we're going to put him first, or whether we're going to pursue the world. But the fact is, the only person who can determine your course, again, is you. I want to really drive that point home. You and you alone are responsible for your own life. You know, as a minister over the years, you want to find a balance. And what is your job as a minister? And I've seen different approaches on this. I've seen some ministers who try to force their will upon the people. They're very autocratic in nature. They're kind of dictatorial. I don't believe that's the job of a minister. Because a minister, we're simply there to help. We're to instruct. We're to chastise maybe at times. Exhort. But when it comes to salvation, what does Scripture say? It says work out your own salvation. It doesn't say you're a minister to work out your salvation. You're to work out your own salvation. And what you do during this life, you and you alone will answer for. When you stand before the judgment seat, there will be no minister. It will be you and you alone. And you will make a confession for your life. I want to move on and talk about prayer, seeking guidance through prayer. Prayer is simply communicating with Yahweh. And I think in some ways we probably don't communicate enough. Even though we may not hear a voice back, it's important to remember he's always listening. He's always listening. Yahweh is everywhere. Yahweh is omniscient. Yahweh is all-powerful and never doubt in his presence. He's always listening. Paul speaks about the power of prayer in Philippians 4, beginning in verse 6. It says there, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto Elohim. And listen, it says, in the peace of Yahweh. How do we achieve the peace of Yahweh? Which it says, passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Messiah Yahshua. This life isn't easy. And eventually, everybody at some point, normally anyway, comes across a situation that seems insurmountable. We've all come across those situations. If you haven't, you probably will. You come across a situation that just you can't see the light, you can't see any resolution, you can't see how this situation is going to be resolved. In these times, it's important that we remember to rely on our Father in heaven, because he really does have the answers. He really can provide the answers. Now, one of the best ways of doing this is through prayer. And again, prayer is simply communicating with our Father in heaven, communicating with him, speaking to him. That's really what we're doing. Just as we would go to a friend in times of hardship, maybe we're going through a hard situation of some sort, and we go to that friend to seek consolation. Or we can do the same with our Father in heaven. We can go to him for consolation. We can go to him for comfort. We can go to him for peace. And again, even though he doesn't normally respond back, he hears and responds in his own way. So I would encourage everybody to really consider the power of prayer. It's important. It's important that we recognize and understand that Yahweh is always listening. And that when we have an issue, that when we come across some sort of obstacle, that we need to seek his will. We need to seek his guidance. You know, Scripture even says that we can give him in our anxiety. You know, when we're going through some sort of depression or anxiety or some sort of just hard trial or tribulation. Then we just say, you know, Yahweh, I'm going to give it over to you. And he takes that time, that anxiety, and he will help us through it. Now, I want to ask, is tribulation the only time we pursue Yahweh through prayer? Of course not. As believers, we should be praying daily, even multiple times a day. We know that Daniel, according to the word, he prayed 3 times a day. And it was always an important point within his day to go and pray to Yahweh. You know, Scripture says that every good gift in this life is from Yahweh. And I believe that. I believe every good gift, every good item we have in this life is a result of Yahweh's goodness, is a result of his grace. And I believe that this begins with prayer. Now, for those here and listening, if you don't have an active prayer life, I would encourage you to do so. And again, you're never too young to do this. You're never too young to do this. You can be 5 years old and you can have an active prayer life. You can be, or obviously older, and have an active prayer life, and you should. Great things happen when we go to Yahweh in prayer. Wonderful things happen when we communicate with our Father in heaven. But we have to be the ones to initiate that communication. Now, what does it say here? It says that when we pray, what's the result? It says that we can receive what? It says that we can receive peace that passes all understanding. That's a, it's a hard concept in some ways, a peace that passes all understanding. But here's what the pulpit commentary knows. It says, Bishop Lightfoot Meyer and others view this passage as, quote, surpassing every device or counsel of men. And for me, the lesson is this. There's no greater source of consolation than our Father in heaven. You know, we can go to our friends, we can go to our families, we can maybe go to our coworkers, but none of those places are going to compare to the consolation, to the peace that we're going to receive from our Father in heaven. So we need to start there. We need to begin there. I want to talk now about embracing faith in decision making. And this is real, this is crucial. It really is. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit to Yahweh whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. One of the biggest mistakes I see people make as they make plans without involving Yahweh. And then when things don't work out, they ask, why? Have you ever met anyone like that? Ever anyone come to you at any point and they're in a mess? And you start probing and asking, and it's evident the reason they're in their mess is because they did not pursue and consult Yahweh. And now they're in a mess. No matter what decision we're making in life, Yahweh should always be in the forefront. Let me give you some examples. Let me give you some real pivotal examples of what Scripture says regarding life decisions. So one example, we've already talked about this, but I want to delve into it a bit more. When it comes to dating, courting, whatever we want to call it, or marriage is a big one, we should only marry, again, within the faith. And I want to share with you what Scripture says about this. 1 Corinthians 7:39 says, a wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. Only, it says, in the master. So what Paul's saying here is simply this. As a believer, we should only marry within the faith. We shouldn't marry outside the faith. Now, I know, we've already talked about this, but I want to reinforce this point by asking, why is this important? Number one, it allows us to share our faith with our spouse. That is such an important point. I can't tell you the number of believing spouses I've spoken to over the years. And of course, in this case, there are spouses not believing. And it's hard. It's really hard. Because they can't share that passion. They can't share that drive. They can't share that faith that they would be able to share if their spouse was in the faith. They can't do it. So when our spouse is in the faith, we have that connection. When our spouse is not in the faith, we just don't have that connection. Number two, and this is maybe even more pivotal, number two, when we marry outside the faith, our spouse can often pull our hearts away from Yahweh's word. I've seen this happen. If you've been in the faith for any length of time, you've probably seen this happen with others, that the unbelieving spouse will eventually pull that believing spouse away. Great example. It's kind of an extreme example, but a good example nonetheless. The example of Solomon. We all know who Solomon was. I'm not going to read the account. I'll read a little bit here, but how many wives and concubines did Solomon have? Does anybody know? He had a lot. So I think I heard the answer, 700 wives, 300 concubines. That's a lot of women within one man's life. It's more than I would ever want. I'm happy with my one. But we know that scripture says that his unbelieving wives, foreign wives is what scripture says, pulled his heart away from following Yahweh and really living as David did prior to Solomon. So 1 Kings 11:4 says this, says, Solomon grew old. So as he grew old, he was losing some of his discretion. And here's what happened. He says, his wives turned his heart after other mighty ones. So notice that. Not only was Solomon pulled away from Yahweh, but his heart was pulled toward these other mighty ones. It says his heart was not fully devoted to Yahweh as Elohim, as the heart of David his father had been. And because of this, we know that Solomon actually participated in pagan worship, shockingly. It's just shocking that Solomon, with all his wisdom, and being the son of King David, you would think that he would have had enough common sense and devotion to stay the course, but that's not what we find. And again, it's because he married all these strange women, foreign women. Here's what it says again in 1 Kings 11. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of Yahweh. He did not follow Yahweh completely as David, his father, had done. On the hill east of Jerusalem, listen, on the hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built an altar or a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all the foreign wives who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their gods. So we find here that Solomon not only turned his heart away from Yahweh, but he adopted the worship of these false mighty ones. And that's why it's important that our spouse is in the faith. Now, I know this is an extreme example. I'm sure nobody anticipates 700 wives here, 700 unbelieving wives at that. But nonetheless, the example is valid. And we find other examples. Deuteronomy 7 talks about this too. It says there in Deuteronomy 7 not to go marry with those Philistines and those other nations around them. And the reason was because Yahweh knew. He says, they're going to pull your sons and daughters away from me. He says, don't do it. Don't go with those outside the faith. They're going to pull their hearts away from me. And that's what happened to Solomon. And as you know, Solomon, I love Solomon. He's an amazing man. And he did some amazing things throughout his life. But in the end, he let it go through this poor judgment. Of all things, the wisest man on earth, of all things, he let his faith go because of his foreign wives. I want to give you one more example, life example, of why it's important to put Yahweh first. When I was searching for a career in my early 20s, I was thinking about one that was, I was concerned about the Sabbath. So I went and I talked to one of the guys in the field, and he says, yeah, he says, you're gonna have to work on Sabbath. And that day, I said, nope, that's not going to work out. So I'm going to have to do something different. Can't do that. And I did. I completely changed the path of my career. And I said, my dad's in IT. I'll go into IT. And it served me well. But I had a choice that day. Do I continue down the path I'm going and likely compromise the faith for the Sabbath? Or do I do a course correction now so that this isn't an issue? And I chose to take that course correction. I chose to go a different way. I chose to change the direction of my career to align with Yahweh's word. And that's a very real scenario, especially for the young people here. You're at a very pivotal time in your life. And I will say that many of the decisions when you're, let's just say, 16 to 25, the decisions that you make within this time frame will follow you for life normally. So make good decisions. And make sure that those decisions, first and foremost, are based on Yahweh's word. Because if you base your decisions, your life decisions on Yahweh's word, things are going to go well. But if you base your decisions on the world, or you base your decisions on things that may cause issues down the road with Yahweh's word, it's not good. So again, it's important that we use our Father's word when it comes to life decisions, whether that's a spouse, whether that's a career, whatever it is, whatever we do in life, everything should be based first on Yahweh's word. I want to talk about what it means to surrender our personal desires. Surrender our personal desires. It's so important that we realize as believers, you know, we don't belong to ourselves. We don't. We belong to our Father in heaven. We belong to the Messiah. We don't belong to ourselves. And we're going to read some examples here. So I want to see what it says here in 1 Corinthians 6, 7, 17 through 20. It says, "But he that is joined unto the Master," or the Messiah, is one spirit. "Flee fornication," it says. Flee fornication. "Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body." We're talking about physical fornication. It says what? "Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of Elohim, and you are not your own." Notice that. You are not your own. That's crucial that we understand that as believers, that we are not our own. Meaning, very simply, we do not belong to ourselves, that we belong to him. And you are bought with a price, therefore glorify Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are Yahweh's. And I believe that price was Yahshua's shed blood. We were bought with his blood. Now, there's a lot of important points I'm going to cover here. Paul begins by explaining that we are joined to the Messiah. Because of this, it says that we're to flee fornication. Now, again, the word fornication here refers to physical fornication, sexual immorality. And the reason that is that our bodies, you see, when we do these things, it taints our bodies. And it says here that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when we commit fornication, when we commit sins impacting the body, we are really committing sins against the Holy Spirit. Now, this is referring, I believe, to those immersed in Yahshua's name who have received the Holy Spirit. But nonetheless, it's important for everybody to hear, because hopefully someday, if you're not immersed, for the young people here, you will be. And this message is just as applicable for you. That when we sin, whether it be with fornication or really any other sin of the body, that it impacts not just the body, but also the spirit that dwells within us. And that's why it's important that we keep our bodies clean and pure of sin and iniquity. This is why it's important as believers that we do our very best to surrender our lives to him. This is why Paul closes here with this. He says again, "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are Yahweh's." So we are bought with a price. Your body, your life, doesn't belong to you. And that's a hard concept for many people to understand. My body, my choice, my this, my that. Your body doesn't belong to you. Your life doesn't belong to you. Your body and your life and everything about you belongs to your Creator. And for that reason, we're to strive to live according to his word. We're to strive to ensure that our lives are aligned according to his truth. Because again, we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to him. Our bodies belong to him. Our lives, everything we are belongs to him. And for that reason, that's why we must surrender everything we are to him. If we are going to strive, if we are going to succeed as a believer, then we must surrender ourselves to him, recognizing that our lives don't belong to us. It's not our bodies to choose. It's not our lives to choose. What is our choice is to ensure that our bodies are in line and our lives are in line with his truth, with his word. And when we do that, scripture says again that we're going to be blessed. and that we're going to have that Holy Spirit indwelling within us. But if we don't, we're not going to have that Holy Spirit indwelling within us. You know, Scripture speaks about quenching the Spirit. And even those with the Spirit, even those immersed into Yahshua's name, I believe that we can quench the Spirit. I believe that if we continue in sin, I believe that if we indulge in sin knowingly and willingly without repentance, that we will suffer the penalty for that. And one of the penalties for that is quenching the Holy Spirit. So as believers, we just can't do that. And that's to everybody, by the way. As believers, we can't do that. We can't quench Yahweh's Holy Spirit. When we do it our way, when we don't do it His way, we are quenching His Holy Spirit. We do enough, that Holy Spirit may be gone. We see a similar message in Colossians. Colossians 3, 23 through 24 says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to Yahweh, and not to men, or not unto men. Knowing that of Yahweh you shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Master Messiah." This is really the same, nearly the same message we saw in the previous passage. And the message here is simply this: we must always put Yahweh above man, no matter what it is. No matter if it's our careers, no matter if it's our families, our friends, He comes first. His word comes first. His ways come first. We conform our lives to His truth. And we don't conform our lives to our families. We don't conform our lives to our friends. We don't conform our lives to with those we work with or anybody else. Sometimes the greatest struggle is with those we care about. I've seen many examples of this over the years, especially when it comes to worship. I've seen unbelieving spouses make it almost impossible for believing spouses to worship Yahweh. They continue to pull them away from the truth. They continue to pull them away from keeping the Sabbath and the feast days. And again, that's why we should marry within the faith. I've also seen unbelieving friends pull believers away from the faith. Sabbath, feast days, maybe even clean foods. Maybe there's a concert on Sabbath. Music concert. And you know you shouldn't go. It's a Sabbath. But your friends want to go. And they pull you to go. They sway you to go. And you compromise what you know to be right, what you know to be true, because of your friends. Now, I spoke earlier about it's important to be faithful. To be faithful not only to the big things, but the small things. And I believe that. I am a big believer. And being faithful, not only to the big things, but also the small things. I believe if we can't keep the small things, we're not going to keep the big things. We need to keep everything. And recognize, again, that we're to mold our life, sacrifice our life, surrender our lives to Him. Recognizing, simply, that our lives don't belong to us. It belongs to our Father in heaven. I want to close now with two examples from Abraham. And I want to begin with Genesis 12, 1 through 4. It says there, "Now Yahweh had said unto Abram," this is before he was Abraham, by the way, just Abram. He says, get you out of your country and from your kindred, from your family, and from your father's house into a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless him that bless you. And curse him that curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as Yahweh had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old. So he was 75 years old, by the way, when he began following Yahweh. It's never too late. It's never too late. It says there, and he departed out of Haran. You know, the story of Abraham is a great story and offers some incredible insights and lessons. We find one of the greatest lessons here in this passage. Abraham was commanded by Yahweh to leave his home and to leave his family and to leave everything he knew behind, to journey to a land that he knew nothing about. Now think about what this must have meant for Abraham. Think about what he was pondering at this moment. You're telling me to leave my family, leave my home, and I'm going to go to a place that I know nothing about. It must have been daunting. But what do we find here? We find there here that he left. We find here that he listened. We find here that he obeyed. And this required a tremendous amount of faith and devotion, I believe, by Abraham. For a moment, let's apply this story to us. I believe that we can apply, take any story within Scripture, and we can apply that story to us in some way. And this is a big, applicable example that we could apply to ourselves. You know, I believe we all have a story like Abraham to tell, and here's the reason why. As believers, following Yahweh means that we must, at times, separate ourselves from people we know. That's just the way it works. If we are going to faithfully, fully follow and devote our lives to Yahweh, there will be circumstances, there will be times when we must make a separation with those we know. In many cases, travel is often also involved. I moved to Missouri for one reason and one reason only. I moved to Missouri to find an assembly. That's why I moved. Now, for those who know the story, Jennifer's a real close second. But I didn't know Jennifer at that time. All I knew is Yahweh. All I knew is that I wanted to be part of an assembly. That's all I knew. And I knew that there wasn't an assembly where I was, so I moved. I moved from California. And I thank Yahweh every day for that move, for those who know California. And I moved to Missouri, the land of the free. I'm thinking about COVID. I moved to Missouri and haven't looked back. But again, I did it because of Yahweh. I did it because of the faith. Like Abraham, I had a decision. I could stay in California with nobody, or I could move. And I could find a place to worship. That's what I did. I moved from California to the Missouri, found an assembly, and that decision changed the course of my life. If I never made that decision to visit the assembly, moved to Missouri, probably would have never met Jennifer. And without Jennifer, I certainly would not have had Bella and Hope. And I would be hopeless today without Hope. That's a dad joke. But it changed the course of my life. It really did. That one decision, am I going to stay here where it's going to be hard to serve Yahweh because there's nobody, is who, what believer wants to live in California, and or do I move and be with an assembly? And for me, it wasn't really a choice. I wanted to be near an assembly, and I did, and it worked out, and I was blessed because of it. There were some bumps in the road, but I got here, and things have worked out well. And I've been blessed tremendously because of it. I have a great wife, two good kids, good career. Again, great state, part of an assembly. Never thought I'd be a minister. In fact, I'll share this little tidbit. I didn't plan to share this, but it shows sometimes Yahweh laughs at your plans. I told my best friend when I was 16, I was born in the faith. And I believed it. I did. But I wasn't convicted. It sounds kind of a contradictory, but it's true. I believed it. I wasn't convicted of it. 16 years old, I told my best friend at the time, which was also in the faith, I said, when I'm 18, I'm gone. He says, nope. He says, you're going to marry an elder's daughter. I said, there is no way I'm going to ever marry an elder's daughter. And of course, I did. But, you know, Yahweh sometimes, I think, mocks and laughs at our plans. I would have never guessed that I would be where I'm at, doing what I'm doing, but I'm doing it. And it really all started from one point. And that point was when I decided I wanted to find a place to worship Yahweh. That was it. And everything has fallen in place. And I'm sure we all have our stories. We all have our examples. of doing something based on Yahweh's word, and hopefully it had a positive result, positive end. I know it has for me. I want to give you another example of a hard decision by Abraham. And I'm not going to read the account. I'll give you something to look at. But so in Genesis 22, Abraham there, he was told to go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice his son Isaac. What do we know from the story? We know from the story that he was going to do what Yahweh said to do. Took his son, bound his son, was ready to slaughter his son. But we know that Yahweh stopped him. Yahweh stopped him. Yahweh gave him a substitute sacrifice, and he saved Isaac. But the point is, he was willing to do it. He was willing to do it. Interestingly, in Hebrews, we find that it says there that he believed Yahweh could resurrect his son. So he had faith. Even with that, he believed he would see his son again. But he also had enough devotion to do what Yahweh said to do, which, when you consider this, especially from a parent's perspective, to sacrifice a son or daughter is just unthinkable. It really is. This is outside the world of possibility for most parents. And yet, we find here that Abraham, he was willing to do this. And this is why I believe Abraham is such a great example of what it means to be devoted, what it means to be dedicated, what it means to sacrifice for Yahweh. He left everything he knew behind, left his family, went to a place he knew nothing about, and then he's told by Yahweh to sacrifice his son, which again, Yahweh gave that substitute. Now, we know that he was blessed again because he was willing to put Yahweh first. Here's what it says. It says that in blessing, I will bless you, and in multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And that's through Messiah, by the way, because thou hast obeyed my voice. You see, all of these blessings was a result of that one, not simple, but one act of willingness to do what Yahweh commanded. He did it, or he was going to do it, and he was blessed for it. Again, the story offers many lessons for us, but one crucial one, and that's this: how far are we willing to go for the one we worship? How far are we willing to go for Yahweh? I've been in the faith again for a long time, and I've seen different levels I would categorize as faith. Some are just on fire for Yahweh's word, and they give everything. And on the opposite or extreme end, you have those who come to Sabbath and keep the feast days, and they show up, but there's not much effort beyond that. So my question to you and all of us is, how far are we willing to go for the one we worship? What sacrifices are we willing to make for our Father in heaven? This may include separating ourselves from family or friends that are bad influences. We're making other sacrifices. You see, when it comes to our devotion to Yahweh, the simple truth is we must be willing and able to give all. You know, if we can't give all, it's not enough. We need to always recognize that Yahweh never accepts second place. In the New Testament, Yahshua said that we could not serve both mammon and Yahweh. Mammon is basically as a wealth personified. He said that we had to choose. We had to choose. How many people today choose to live for money? A lot. Most. Even some believers do this. I've seen it within the faith. They say they follow Yahweh, number one, but you can see by the way they live, it's really not the case. It's really not the case. We also know that Yahshua chastised the Laodicean assembly for being lukewarm. He said, look. He said, either be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. And lukewarm is a state of mediocrity. We're just not You know, we're here, but we're not here. We're kind of devoted, but not fully devoted. And if we fall into that category, Yahshua said in Revelation, he's going to spew us from his mouth. He's going to vomit us from his mouth if we're lukewarm, if we're not willing to go all the way with. And I've said this in the past, but it's, you know, either fully commit to Yahweh, or there's the door. And I think that's really the message Yahshua's conveying there in Revelation. Either fully commit or there's the door. Because listen, if we want to live a mediocre life of faith, we will gain nothing in the end. And that's the important thing to understand, that unless we're willing to go all the way with his truth, to go all the way with his word, that what we are doing is a waste of our time. It's a waste of his. Mediocrity is not ever enough with Yahweh. So where's our devotion today? Are we following the example of Abraham, willing to give and sacrifice everything for the one we worship? If we are, praise Yahweh. But if not, I would encourage you to really look within and ask why. And how can I improve? How can I do better? Where can I step up? Where can I give more than I'm not giving now? I think we need to ask that question. You know, we can live for him and we can be blessed in this life and in the life to come. Or we can live for the world and die in our sins. But again, the choice is ours. But listen, the choice is ours, but so is the consequence. So we can make all the choices we want in this world. And you know, the young people in this room, especially once you get out on your own, because I have an 18-year-old, I know how all this works. I'm an adult, and you are legally, and the maturity is certainly there in some ways. But the important thing to realize is once you begin to make those decisions, once you move out, once you're on your own, and you start making those life decisions, you will deal with those consequences. And life can throw you a lot of curveballs, especially if we make bad decisions. And the easy way to make bad decisions is when we, again, don't do it Yahweh's way. You know, I pray as believers, we always choose Yahweh. Again, over the years, I've spoken to a lot of people who've suffered a lot of regret. And they wish more than anything they could go back and change mistakes they made years ago. But the reality is, life doesn't give you that option. Life doesn't give you the ability to go back and change mistakes. What it gives you the ability is to make good decisions. To make good decisions and be blessed and not to have to worry about mistakes. And we do that when we simply follow Yahweh's word. And here's the thing about life and mistakes. We can again be forgiven. We can. I believe any sin can be forgiven, except, you know, the sin against the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, Scripture says. But any other sin can be forgiven. But again, there's still consequences for those sins. Great example of that is David. David was a great, great man. And David, Scripture says, had a heart after Yahweh's own. But David, he made some really big mistakes. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband murdered. And after this, his life was never the same. It was never the same. So even though Yahweh forgave him for those sins, he paid for years. He suffered for years. So again, the very best thing we can do in this life is to follow Yahweh. When we follow him, we are going to be blessed, and we are going to experience blessings that others won't. You know, even more importantly, when we follow him, and this is really the most important point of all this. When we follow him, not only will we be blessed in this life, more importantly, we're going to be blessed in the life to come. That's why we're all here, I hope. We're here because we want something after all of this. And believe me, this life, it's okay, but the life to come is great. And when we put Yahweh first, not only do we have the promise of blessings in this life, but also in the life to come. Again, the title of this message is Crossroads of Faith. While this message is applicable to every one of all ages, I would hope and pray that those who are young, teens, early 20s, in the room or listening, would really consider what's been spoken today. Because you are at a crossroads. You really are. And you make good decisions, right decisions, and good things will follow your life. If you make bad decisions, if you make decisions contrary to Yahweh's word, in opposition to Yahweh's word, good things won't come. You're going to suffer. It's going to be hard. And we don't want that. We want everybody in this room to be blessed. We want everybody here to understand and to experience the blessings of Yahweh, and we can do that if we follow him, if we follow his word, if we follow his truth. So I would close today by simply saying this. Yahweh's word and his promise brings life. That's really the end of the day. His promise, his word, it brings life. Well, this world brings emptiness, disappointment, and really death in the end. I pray that as believers we choose Yahweh, we choose him, we choose his word, we choose his truth, we choose his promises over this world. And with that, I would wish you all a blessed Sabbath, and may Yahweh bless you.